It's time for the Ice Cap Podcast, the official podcast of the Jacksonville Icemen. This is your one stop for up-to-date Icemen and ECHL news. Now here's your host, Alex Reed.
And welcome to the Ice Cap Podcast, the podcast that discusses everything related to the Jacksonville Icemen hockey team, along with the ECHL and the world of hockey in general. I am one of your hosts, Alex Reed, alongside my other host, and that is my broadcast partner of the Icemen Broadcast Network. That is Arlie Johnson. And Arlie, welcome. And well, this is the podcast I guess we didn't look forward to doing, at least so soon, yes. The way things have played out. But a tough way for the Icemen season to end. They lose in six games to the Florida Everblades. Well, we're going to talk about it. We're going to dive into the series and really what's ahead here. But we were kind of hoping that maybe we'd have a podcast to kind of already to have previewed the conference finals. And hopefully, the Kelly Cup Finals. It just didn't work out here this year, but we did want to get a podcast out here just to kind of recap the season. It was a good one indeed for the Icemen, winning a club record 44 wins and accomplishing a lot of things here. They set the league record in attendance, or the league lead in attendance, which also was a club record as well. But a good year overall for the team, both on and off the ice. But I wish we were talking about some other series, let's say, here in these Kelly Cup playoffs.
Yeah, I think this was a year where you just feel like the Icemen just left a little something out there on the table that they could have gotten. A little different than last year. I think that Jacksonville last year, coming off the sweep of the Atlanta Gladiators in the first round of the playoffs, I think that maybe they felt that they weren't quite ready for Florida last year in the second round. This year was not that way. This year's team, after a hard-fought first-round victory over the Greenville Swamp Rabbits this year, I think that this year's Icemen squad felt more than prepared to defeat the Florida Everblades. But it just wasn't meant to be. It is hard to win the cup. It is hard for a reason. Florida knows how to do it. They're the defending champions. And I think that their experience from last year may have been what ended up winning them the series this year. They knew how to handle difficult moments. They knew how to handle, ebbs and flows of games. And I think when Jacksonville got caught behind against Florida, that was when they just could never quite scratch and claw their way back over the top. Anytime Florida had a lead, the Icemen never were able to get a lead back in any individual game. And that, I think, is really what decided it. It's not a disappointing season. I think it's a very successful season, certainly successful off the ice. You already addressed it. 77-49 per game. That is incredible for attendance. If you go back to year one, I don't recall the exact attendance, but I'd say it's somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 2,000 per game fewer. Even going back to season one, when there was a lot of hype for the team, now the momentum is continuing to build 6 years later. And I think that might be one of the most incredible accomplishments of this team, is actually off the ice. On the ice, yeah, a little bit of a bitter taste, but that doesn't mean this team was a poor team. This team was a great team. They were so much fun to watch. And it just makes me crave the 23-24 season that much more.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And, we talked about the playoff series, and you were just mentioning it, really what was some of the difference making moments in that series. And I agree with you completely. It was tough for the Icemen to, once Florida got that lead, they're so good at locking things down. And gosh, did it for a while, did it seem like history was going to repeat itself when the team fell behind 0-3 in the series? But what a great effort by the guys to take two games on the road in Florida to try to force the game six. And when you look at the losses, aside game one, that was just kind of a stinker, let's say, one that the team would like to have back. But it's a situation where game two, the Icemen outchanced, outworked, outplay the Everblades. But what is the word we always use? The opportunistic, right? I mean, the Blades, they are an opportunistic team. You give them just a little bit of a leeway or a turnover, they're going to make you pay. And they found a way to get that win in game two, which I think was the key game in the series, totally obviously, agree. Without question. So, and then, of course, even in game six there, the Icemen fought hard in that game. And it just doesn't, hockey just doesn't always... it's not always fair, I'm not saying, oh, this was so unfair to the Iceman, but hockey, the game itself, sometimes you can outwork and outplay a team, but at the end of the day, it's all about that score. And looking at that game, the Iceman never quit. Obviously, they didn't quit in the series, but in that game, they never quit. They fell behind by a couple goals. They get an empty net goal there, or they pull the goaltender to allow for the extra attacker. They score a goal to pull within one. And then how close were we to having a 6-on-4 situation when that puck went out over the glass and it just clipped the glass? And it was the right call or no call in that sense, but very well could have been delay a game. And the Iceman with about a minute left or so in the game would have had a 6-on-4 advantage. Who knows what could have happened, but that's how sometimes the puck bounces. And it was a great effort by the guys. And, it was so close, Starley, to having that potential situation where we could have been looking at a 7-game stretch.
I had forgotten about that puck clipping off the absolute top of the glass and what kind of difference that might have made at the end of game six. But reflecting back on the postseason, the games that I think mattered most to me were games 4 and 5 of the Florida series, even though it wasn't a series where they ended up winning. To be down 3-0 and feel like you are just in a deep, dark place with two more on the road, or at least just one on the road potentially. And for them to have the resolve and character to be able to bounce back and stay in those games, take the lead. They played with the lead in both of those games. They were dominant in game 5 at Florida. And for them to be able to do that, that showed me so much. Not about the players, not just about the players themselves, but about the coaching staff too. Nick Lucco and Brandon Mashinter continue to impress me with how they can continue to get the buy-in from these players, no matter how adverse the situation is for this group. And it was as adverse as you could possibly get, down 3-0 to the defending champions. And still, with a pair of road games ahead, you find a way to get two road victories in overtime when you're in an absolute pressure cooker of a situation, and you get the job done in the overtime against Florida in game 4, just to keep your postseason alive, to keep your season alive. Brendan Harris with the overtime game winner. Those two games, just being at home, watching those and listening to your call was very memorable to me. And it's got to be, it kind of warms my heart a little bit just knowing how great that season was, because they just never, ever quit. They could have easily, that could have been another 4-game sweep. They did not. And that gives me a ton of momentum, even from a fan's point of view, let alone from a co-worker's point of view from the Icemen, but a ton of momentum going into this offseason, knowing that I think there's going to be a lot of guys that at minimum want to come back, and guys that the coaching staff will want back as well. We've talked about the core and the culture for this team that's being built. I think most of that's going to stay intact. You can't keep everybody. Finances play a factor too, but if you are not encouraged about this upcoming season, you were not paying attention to this Iceman campaign, both during the regular season and the postseason.
Well, when you look at that, how things ended in game 6 and talking about how proud, everyone, you should be, all the fans should be of that team, not giving up. I mean, they were giving everything they got. And I know after the team fell down 0-3, they had a players only meeting on the morning skate of game 4. And basically it was just for the players to talk like, hey, let's get it out there. We know the situation we're in. This is something we've just got to take one game at a time, and we all want this. And, and they did want it. They really did. I know a lot of teams say that, but these guys just enjoyed being around each other every day. They loved coming to the rink. And I've been doing this a long time, and, obviously you have too, Arlie, but I've been, 15 years, I guess I've been in hockey, been in a lot of locker rooms when the season ends. And I got to say, and not just saying it, after that game 6 loss, I went in the locker room, and it was a pretty devastating sight. I mean, those guys were devastated that that the season was over and that they didn't accomplish the goal. I know it's a sour taste in their mouth right now how it ended. They felt like they should have been further along. They should have won the series, you know, but it just didn't work out that way. But, you know, just seeing the guys, how dejected they were, it was something that you could tell this really hurt them, that they were giving everything they had. And it just wasn't enough this time. And, you know, hats off to the Everblades for being that opportunistic team. Even in game six, you know, there was a turnover early in the game. And guess what? Florida gets the first goal of the game. And then they catch a guy going out of the box, you know, out of the penalty box. And, you know, he goes and scores. I mean, it just, they find ways to get it done. And those are like those little lessons learned. But it was tough to see the guys, you know, in that type of shape. I know it's not what they wanted. And like I said, some teams, they just, you know, they're like, whatever, season's over. That wasn't the case with this group. They had a lot of pride in there, a lot of love for one another. And it was tough to see. But hey, you're right, Arlie. You know, I think it's something that you'll see some guys that'll want to come back. They love being here. The Icemen have really, with the new facility at the Igloo and the locker room that's now open to these guys. And obviously the housing and all the things that Jacksonville offers, number one in attendance, you get to play in front of great crowds. You know, I there's just a lot going for this, this program.
Yeah, absolutely there is. And, you know, for the series, I don't want fans to look at it as we lost to a lower seed either. You know, remember Florida was the 4 seed going in, but we talked about it, you know, towards the end of the regular season, as things were starting to finally kind of take shape. And it only took until maybe the last half dozen games for the, you know, first through fourth place to take shape. It really was jammed tight all year long. But we all knew that all 4 teams were capable of winning the South Division this year. Florida is the 4 seed, as it turned out, but we knew that they had the experience. They've got the winningest coach in ECHL playoff history as well, and Brad Ralph. They know how to do it. So don't look at it that way. And I think what a lot of people were predicting, although they regret that it is Florida, because I know how people feel about the Everblades here in Jacksonville. But I think if you ask most people that are fans of the Icemen or fans of any South Division team, really, that, you know, take your pick for who comes out of the South Division. But I think a lot of people would say whoever it is, and you pretty much just throw all 4 names in a hat, whoever it is, they feel like they would end up winning the Kelly Cup because they feel like the South Division was that strong. And that's why it's no surprise to me, and I'm sure no surprise to you, that Florida went off and defeated the Newfoundland Growlers as well in 6 games, a team that was far and away the division leader in the North Division, just as they defeated the Growlers last year in the Eastern Conference Finals as well. And, you know, now we'll see if that holds water again against a much different team in the Idaho Steelheads, the Brabham Cup winners for the regular season championship. But similar to the Boston Bruins in the NHL, Idaho was pretty historically good this year, and I think it sets up for a really intriguing final. Just a shame that it's not Jacksonville against Idaho, I suppose.
Oh, no doubt about that. And who knows what would have happened if the Icemen could have got through. And again, everyone said, a lot of people across the league were saying the South Division was the premier division, the most tested, battle-tested. We said it, a lot of people across the league just couldn't believe what they saw out of the South, how close it was, how competitive it was. And whoever came out of the South was going to be a force to deal with. And right now, the Everblades holding that true as they're now playing for the finals. You and I will get to our picks in that Kelly Cup final series between Idaho and Florida here right before we close out this this podcast. But now looking ahead here, Arlie, for the Icemen, now that it's the team is it was quick. You know, the next day the team had their exit interviews, their physicals, and all that stuff. The locker room cleanouts, always one of the saddest days of the year after they lost that game 6. And now, you know, the offseason begins. And, you know, looking at this team, they've had a good core for a long time. We'll see, you know, how much of that core comes back. It's something you don't see very often in this league, but it's a testament to what this program has built here and how guys like playing here. And I just, you know, you look at this team and, you know, what is this? Is there anything that sticks out to you? Is that, you know, with great as a season it was and how we all think this team, if they could have got past Florida, this team could have made some noise, no doubt about it. What do you see for this team moving forward? Is there anything that they need to maybe focus on here in the offseason? You know, I know there's going to be that whole process of protected list and qualifying offers into season off, rosters, all that stuff has to be submitted. There are more formalities than anything. But really, what do you think that this team needs to look ahead to here in the offseason try to either equal what they did this year or get over that hump and take that next step?
Well, I think there's a few things that that jump off the page at me. And again, that's not to say that this Iceman team had deficiencies. I thought they were very well-rounded. I think their best strength this year was their depth, to be truthful. But the biggest thing that jumps off the page to me is they never got that one guy that was just an absolute threat shift after shift to snipe and put the puck in the net. They had a lot of balance. They had a lot of guys that you'll have moments here, moments there, a lot of 20 goal scorers, but not so much the 30 to 35 goal scorers. And if they can find a way to get that one guy that is just there to put the puck in the net, they are not easy to come by. So it's not as if I blame the Icemen for not getting this guy. It's hard to do. And sometimes you just don't know who it is. You know, sometimes it's a rookie that comes from the junior ranks. Look at the Allen Americans. If you want to look at some of their rosters, they had ridiculous offense from a couple of rookies there. You just got to find that guy somehow, some way. That's the first thing that sticks off the page to me. Defensively, I think they needed a little bit more beef on the blue line. Jacob Friend had a very good year, but it was a very good year when healthy. And injuries are going to happen. And you can't rely on just one guy to be that kind of guy. This isn't necessarily a flashy position for me, but I would love to see just some 6'5", 220-pound mauler that can just push people out of the top of the crease. I think that one of the areas where the Icemen were exploited a little bit this year was power plays against. Sometimes their penalty kill would suffer in particular with some big bodies up front that could just create too much havoc in front of the goaltending. Ross Olsen sticks out at me from the Orlando Solar Bears as a guy that would do exactly that. And the Icemen just didn't really have an answer for a guy like that, especially when Friend was out of the lineup. So those are the two biggest things. And if I want to throw a quick third one in, it's not so much that I feel badly about how this position was for Jacksonville, because I think it was a position of strength, especially from a depth perspective. But you look again at the Florida series. Big difference in that series, Cam Johnson was nails again. Was he as good as last year's playoff series? No, he was not even human last year, but he was a difference maker. He's a number one goalie, and the Icemen just didn't get the goaltending that they would have liked when it was said and done. When the chips were on the table at the end, the Icemen needed a guy in that series that could win them a game. And again, not a knock on any of the three of them. They all had excellent runs during the course of the season, but none of them were able to pick the team up, put them on their back and carry them to a victory or a series victory for that matter. And I think ultimately that might have cost them a little bit. So I'm curious what Nick Lucco does with that situation. The affiliation agreement may play a factor in that as well. Will Olaf Lindbaum be here? Will the Rangers be here? We don't even know that part just yet, although we certainly hope that that is the case. I don't want to say that that is for sure what would happen. So things can change there. It might not be a bad idea to find a guy that you know is an ECHL goaltending stud. And again, similar to that sniper, not so easy to find. But if you can find a way to do it, you're going to win more games than not during the course of the season.
It's so funny you mentioned that big guy on the back end, that big blue liner, huge, size and strength. And I've actually had discussions with fans about that. Like, hey, you know what? We need a 6'5", 6'6" defenseman who's tough, who's physical, who can, move the puck well. And I go, oh, they're out there, but those guys are usually in the American Hockey League or the NHL.
Correct.
But I'm not saying that, it doesn't mean that that guy's not out there, but they are tough to find. Usually a defenseman that has those tools and that type of size, they usually find themselves at the next level. But you're absolutely right. And that's what makes Jacob Friend so great, is he's not one of those guys from a size standpoint. I mean, he's not a small guy. I think he's like 6'1" and a half, 6'2", but he certainly could play that role. And, you know, that's you can find another guy like him. You know, that would be great. He's well respected across the league. So but I agree with you pretty much there with your assessment there of what they need. And the affiliation, I think, will play a part. As you know, goaltending usually comes from the affiliates. And we'll see what how it plays out here in this summer, as I think that it was a 2-year deal. It was actually. And they've got to renew either with the Rangers or the Ice will have to look at some other options. And, you know, what's the timeline on that? I don't know. As of right now, the recording of this podcast, the Rangers are still looking for a head coach. So I'm pretty sure that's going to be one of their priorities for the time being. And then obviously they can get down into to working on the affiliation agreement. But this was a great year, Arlie, in the sense that this team, you know, was able to accomplish a lot though on the ice. And I just think it's just a great group. And our fan base was so great to acknowledge the team, you know, when they went in after that game six, just to be like, hey, you know, this was I think everyone kind of left satisfied that this was a good year, even though we didn't quite get to where we wanted to. So we'll see how the summer plays out. We'll be talking about things throughout the summer when all the different scenarios come up. The ECHL has a 3-step process for teams to begin building their rosters. You know, the protected list will come out here in the month of June. That always, it's a formality that gets announced. I think a lot of people see a list of players on a list of names and they get excited. Oh, they're all coming back. No, it's not really what it means. Then right. There's the end of year roster, which is basically the same thing, other than now all the deals where future considerations were, you know, made, those have to be completed. And it's a little bit narrowed down, let's say. But again, that doesn't mean anything either. Where it does get interesting is, you know, the qualifying offers. And that's usually comes around just at the end of June into the start of July. And those are actually where it does get interesting, because teams have to extend qualifying offers to as many as 8 players. And those are actually contract offers on the table. And what's interesting about that is you can still sign players before the qualifying offers, which is great. But one of the advantages for qualifying a player is that one, if you, let's say you qualify 8 players off that, off your list, whether they have a month to sign that, that sheet, that offer sheet. If they don't, then it expires. But by qualifying a player, you do reserve their playing rights here in the ECHL, which I think is key, because obviously if a guy's holding out to maybe get an American Hockey League deal, and then it's like, okay, well, you know, it didn't work out in that regard, then they come here to Jacksonville if they want to continue to play in this league. If a guy, you know, decides maybe to go overseas, as we saw with Craig Martin, the Iceman had his rights. He went overseas and then ended up coming back to the ECHL, you know, and I believe in December or January there. And then, you know, he came back here. So, you know, there's always that leaves that door open, and you can do whatever you want to with those rights. You know, perhaps a certain circumstance, you can trade those rights to another team as part of a deal as well, and get a piece back as well. So that's where it starts to get a little interesting. It's a process that we'll talk about as it's going on, but it is part of the process, and it's going to be an exciting summer, because now with the new facility, the Community First Igloo being opened up, and the locker room back there that these guys have now, I mean, it's top notch. And I know that everyone that's come through there, the players, some of the American Hockey League guys get sent down. I remember, you know, Cristiano Di Jacinto, when he got sent down, he was at training camp, started the year with the Iceman, but that was before the Iceman had their locker room area opened up. They actually had to use some of the smaller, you know, rec rooms, and it was tight quarters. It wasn't ideal, but it was just what the team had to do. Then he goes up to Hartford, comes back, and now we're in the big room, the room that the team's going to have. He walks in, he sees a ping pong table, he sees dogs running around. He was like, wow, this is a nice lounge with a TV. Like, this is all right. And so, you know, he was excited. So, but again, it's top of the line facilities. And I think now that, you know, some of these players have been through it, they've experienced it, this is where the growing process of building a program goes. It's a great facility, and it's just part of the positives of playing in Jacksonville.
Yeah, the roster building is always intriguing to me. You know, just getting to see who's coming in, where you're getting, maybe you're getting a veteran player from some spot, and their qualifications are a little bit different for a veteran status. But I think that I want to just look big picture for now. It's too early in the offseason to look at who are we going to sign. Are we going to get this guy? Are we going to get that guy? I don't look at it that way yet. In the early part of the offseason, I look at big picture stuff. The big picture stuff is, I'd say, probably 80 to 90% of the players on this team love it in Jacksonville. They love it here. They want to be back. The coaching staff loves so many of these guys. They want them back. Those are the things that matter most to me right now, is that they have, you have such cohesion in the locker room, and, you know, with these guys being able to find these fantastic facilities, being able to have the best fans in the league, or, and certainly the most fans in the league as well, that you are going to have probably 12 to 14 guys that really want to be another time to spend another season with the Icemen. Can they get them all? No, probably not. But I'd say on average, league-wide, you're probably looking at maybe 5-6 players that are returning players from a team-to-team perspective. Last year for the Icemen, I think it was probably double that. It was probably 10 or 11 guys that were holdovers from the year before. And I kind of think it's going to be about the same again this year. And those are the things that I really focus on for the time being. The player signings will come as they come. Hopefully, I'm sure a lot of people's favorite players will return. But for now, just know at least this much. The players here absolutely adore playing for this fan base. And they love playing for this coaching staff as well. And that matters. That matters a ton.
No, there's no doubt about it. Really does. So things are booming. They're getting together here in Jacksonville. As the program continues to just take strides here. And it's certainly been... great to see this thing evolve here as over the last couple of years. And it's, you know, there's no doubt the reputation of, you know, playing in this league in Jacksonville, it's starting to become a premier. It is already a premier destination here in the ECHL. And of course, we're talking about the Community First Igloo. There is the grand opening happening on June 6th. So 11:30 is the ribbon cutting. There's all kinds of specials happening that whole week from June 6th to June 11th. If you haven't checked out the facility, there'll be free public skating on, I believe, Tuesday and Wednesday of that week. And that is from 10 to noon. There's an esports gaming lounge in there as well. And of course, there's free play, you know, for you video gamers, bring the kids there from 11 to 8. They even have a summer camp, which is awesome there at the esports lounge. So we're talking video games, skating, other activities here. So check all it out at communityfirstigloo.com. There's a lot of great stuff happening at the Igloo here. And I think that summer camp's actually pretty, if I was a kid, I'd love it, being able to game all day and get a chance to skate on the ice. There's a lot of cool stuff happening. But again, the official grand opening, even though the facility's been open a while, that takes place on June the 6th. And 11:30 a.m. is when the ribbon cutting ceremony takes place. Again, there's a lot of other things happening there as well. So just check it out, communityfirstigloo.com. Just wanted to get that plug in there because this facility is not only really just, you know, for as good news for the Icemen, it's good news for Jacksonville and the city and for the fans and for youth hockey, which has already just grown in leaps and bounds. It's quite a sight to see here. So just wanted to let everybody know about all that. Those are some things coming up here. But Arlie, as we wrap up this, you know, got to kind of wrap things up here on this podcast here. But just to get a few things here, as promised, we got to preview a couple of series right now. We'll start with the Kelly Cup Finals here. Obviously, the Florida Everblades out of the South Division taking on the Brabham Cup winning Idaho Steelheads. I got to be honest, I thought maybe I gave Idaho a little discredit. Throughout the year, there's no doubt they set a league record in wins and points. Unbelievable. And I think me and some other people across the league said, yeah, but their division wasn't that strong. I mean, they're a good team and they can play the schedule that they have. That's all they can do. You know, it's just play the schedule you got. But people kind of were questioning them a little bit. Are they really the real deal? Can they get it done? You know, because they're playing in what many considered a weaker division. I mean, they rolled away with 40 points ahead of the second place team. It was just insane. But guess what? They get in the first round. They fall behind in that series. They lost their first two games at home to Utah and then won four straight games in overtime. That's gutsy. not bad. And then they get to the second round, take care of business. And then they go and take on the against the Allen Americans, who have a high flying offense. And then, of course, they go against the Toledo Walleye and take two wins on the road in their building. Not an easy place to play, Toledo, and a very good team as well. And here they are playing in the finals against the Everblades. I'm impressed with what Idaho's been able to do. They've been telling everybody, yeah, we knew what we were doing all along.
Because so usually everyone says, you're picking Idaho, Reader? Are you telling me you're picking Idaho? Is that what's happening?
No, that's not what I'm telling you. that's not at all what I'm telling you here, because I am going to take the Florida Everblades in five games.
Wow.
I'm going to take it in five. I think they win it easily. I know some fans were like, grr, how can you say that? How can you give it to them? But I just think, the Severn Blades team's got the experience. They got the swagger right now. I think they're just going to find a way to get it done in five games. That's my prediction here. I really built up Idaho. There's no doubt about it. No offense to them. But hey, I guess I'm going to go with the Everblades in five.
Well, you can go pick the Everblades all you wish. And you know, Florida, obviously, we talked about it all year, how great the South Division was. And, you know, we've talked to some other people with Iceman connections about who they feel might end up winning this final series, whether it's Florida or Idaho. And everybody seems to be on Florida's bandwagon because everyone is on the South Division bandwagon. And I remember probably mid-February, this is a good two-thirds of the way into the season, the South record against non-South opponents at one point was 25-2-2. They were steamrolling everybody else outside the division. Florida was among that group as well. But all that said, I can't pick Florida. I have to go to the other side of this, Reader. I think Idaho, while they were without question in a much weaker division, and I know they would have had more losses in the regular season had they played a South Division style of schedule, but they're playing their best hockey right now. Them winning against Toledo in five games really showed me something, because I think that the Walleye were a very legit team, and Idaho really, you know, made clean work out of them in no uncertain terms. Also, Idaho has a home ice advantage. They lost three games at home in the regular season, all season long. I think they've lost maybe three in the playoffs as well, but they will find a way to get the job done. To me, it is the Idaho Steelheads in six games. They're going to win both their games. I'll even break it down for you. They're going to win both their games at home, games one and two. Florida will bounce back in the series, but Idaho is going to find a way to win one there. Then they finish it off at home in game six. And I think the Steelheads are the team that gets it done. Even though the South was the best division, I think the Steelheads are the best team. And I feel that they are going to be the ones to hoist the cup when it's all said and done. And deservedly so to me.
Oh, without question. If they get that done, what a year that would be to cap off the season they've had already in the regular season. A lot of people say, oh, you don't want to win that Brabham Cup. It's a curse. Kind of like the President's Trophy. Ask the Florida Panthers last year. You know, they won the President's Trophy and then they got bounced pretty early. But that's a good segue here, as we got just a couple more minutes here. But good segue here to kind of give your pick here for the Stanley Cup final, as the Florida Panthers, they did not win the President's Trophy. They sneaked into the playoffs and they were able to sneak in there in the final week. And well, what can you say about this team? They finished, I believe, like 43 points behind Boston, 23 points behind the Carolina Hurricanes, and 19 points behind Toronto. And they beat them all. And now here they are playing the Vegas Golden Knights. Arlie, your thoughts on how this is going to go?
So I went against Florida for the Kelly Cup, but I am not going against Florida for the Stanley Cup. I think Florida is playing the best hockey right now. They are a playoff style team. They are built for the postseason. They are tough and heavy on defense. Up front, they've got a bunch of grinders, you know, that just find a way to put the puck in the net from within 10 feet. Matthew Tkachuk is an absolute stud right now. But, you know, you also have guys like Sam Bennett that are picking up their game as well. Carter Verhaeghe is playing fantastic right now. They've got guys that are grinders. Sam Reinhart, I'll put him in that category as well. And Vegas, to me, they're not going to have the goaltending when it's all said and done. I think Aiden Hill, or even if it's Laurent Brossoit that comes back in, I'm not sure what his health status is right now. But I think either way, Florida has the goaltending advantage. Also, they couldn't be more confident right now. So give me the Panthers also in six games, and the Stanley Cup returns to the state of Florida.
Well, there you have it. That's going to be who I'm picking, Arlie, the Florida Panthers as well. I'm telling you, there's going to be a lot of trophies, at least the way I'm picking it here in South Florida. Obviously, with the,
I have the Blades. Affiliated as well. You know, the Florida Panthers and Florida Everblades also affiliates with one another. So what a great story that would be for that particular franchise and affiliation. I just don't see it that way, but I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, we certainly will. And of course, Bobrovsky, he's been fantastic. You're talking about the goaltending. I mean, he is playing at a Conn Smythe level right now, you know, in the Hart Trophy, all that stuff. This guy has been playing out of his mind right now here. What a turnaround for him. And just putting together one of the, just a great performances that we haven't seen in a long time, a great shutdown goaltending performance in the NHL playoffs. It's been, maybe been a couple seasons where you just had a guy that's just all over it. But I'm going to go with the Panthers as well in six games here. Well, Arlie, we got to wrap it up here. But big thank you to you. We'll be keeping everyone posted here throughout the summer as things evolved here. But thanks again, and we'll talk next time.
Oh, and one last thing. Next time we talk, it'll be Alex Reed married. Reader, congratulations to you and Amanda getting married on June 16th. We are so thrilled for you, the entire Iceman community. Could not be any happier for the two of you. So enjoy your wedding, enjoy your honeymoon, and we'll catch you on the other side.
My last podcast is a single man. There you have it. So Arlie Johnson, everybody. All right. Thanks. This has been the Ice Cap Podcast. Until next time, I've been your host, Alex Reed. We'll see you then. Go Iceman.